Well, grace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and it really is God's favour to you, and he's for you this day, and he loves you. And I know that if you've been following the other teachings, like many of you have, you're truly blessed and you're getting to see the real heart of God. And this is addressed to the new people and the older believers that are watching this. Then be really encouraged and be refreshed in the truths that you already know. And God is just so good. And in the last week, I've had some great praise reports and testimonies of people being healed, people being delivered. And one of those testimonies was one of our believers was out working, and one of his customers had so many tumors in their body, and their blood count was so high that the doctors couldn't believe this person was still alive. And so our believer offered ministry and healing. He ministered to her and he prayed with her. And then the next time he saw her, her blood count, which was 7,000 or something like this, right up there, was right down to 600. The tumors are gone and are going. And so she was really blessed and her faith was really built. And another person contacted me who's a family member had a tumor, and they had to go to the doctors, and they messaged me and asked me to pray with them, and I prayed with them, and they went to the doctors and everything turned out really wonderful. So God is just faithful. He's powerful. He's living and real. Jesus Christ is real. He's seated at the right hand side of God right now. And God is active at work in this world through his people, through those that believe him. And last week we looked at the video of how to live victoriously, because that's the heart of God for every person in this world. If they choose to believe, he wants them to live victoriously. He wants them to live abundantly. He wants them to have a happy life, a joyous life, not a downtrodden life, not a get-by life, but a life which is full of abundance, full of goodness, full of joy, full of happiness, full of peace. And it's available. And you can have peace if you have the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he made everything available through his death, burial, and resurrection, through the sacrifice of his life, that God was able to get all the things that he wanted us to have through him to us. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're saved. God fills you with his Spirit. Well, last teaching, we looked at how to live victoriously, and we looked at the importance of the Word of God, that the Word of God is truth. It is powerful. It's not a myth. It's not made up. And that I shared with you how that holy men of God, those men that were filled with the Spirit of God, was inspired with God, and they wrote down what God wanted them to have recorded for us today and for generations to come, unless Jesus Christ comes back and gathers the church in the meantime. But right now it's available for you to really be blessed in your life and to live a victorious life, to have answers in life, to have direction in life, and to have a vision. And this is God's heart for you. So we've seen in last week's teaching that the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's truth. And we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We learned that the Word of God is Spirit and life. We learned that this Word of God, the Gospel of Christ, is the good news, the power of God unto salvation, which is wholeness, healing, and deliverance. And that God gives us the victory so we can live victoriously in Christ. And we learned the importance it is to understand that the Word of God is truth, and that God's people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge because God's people rejected God's Word to them, and how they could live and how they can really live a victorious and blessed life. Now, the next stage we need to know and we need to find out from God is, how do we receive those promises from God? What God has written in his Word to his people, how do we receive from God? And the first thing to really understand of how to receive from God, you've got to find out what is available. And to do that, you need to go to the Scriptures to see what the Word of God, the Scriptures, are saying, what is available to us today. I also encouraged in my last video that if you don't have a Bible, to get one, so that you can go and find out these promises of God. And I encourage you to get the King James Version of the Bible. And so if you've got that, That's great. If you haven't, you can get the Bible online at www.biblegateway.com, and there's many different versions, but use the King James Version. This is the one I use. It's the best one to use, to be honest with you. And even though it's got the these and the thous in this, that's just old King James English, the old English speaking. So don't let that throw you off, because it doesn't really matter, because you can still get it, because I did. If I can get it, anyone can get it, right? So what is available from God? What's available regarding health? And we already looked at this scripture, but I want to cover it again because it's just so important. And in 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, we read this. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now, the Apostle John, he wrote this, but he was inspired by God what to write. God's touched his heart. And so we know this is God's heart for us, that God's intense desire, okay, his intense, passionate desire is for you to prosper and to be in good health. And I explained in the other video that this word prosper means to have a good journey through life. I want you to ask yourself a question. Are you having a good journey through life? Or are you going through tough times? Are you always down? Are people picking on you, walking over you? Well, that can stop once you start to know who you are and what God's given you when you got born again, and what's available now to you, and the information that you can receive now to live above this world. Because before you got born again, the only information that you've actually received about life and living is what you learned from your mum and dad, what you learned from auntie and uncles, what you learned in the school system, what the news has been promoting to you. But I'm giving you the good news. This good news is real, and this good news is living in life, and you can apply it, and you can start getting results in your life. You can change the course of your life right now, and you can truly live with a wake up every morning with a great expectation of great things, knowing that God's for you. Even if you're going through tough times as a believer or as a new believer, when you can go to God and know that he's going to work on your behalf, then you're going to have confidence and you're going to grow in strength day by day. Even Jesus Christ, when he was a young child, it says that Jesus Christ waxed and grew strong in the Word of God, with his relationship with God. And each day you can grow in your relationship with God. You can wax strong. You, like with any relationship, when you first begin, you don't know much about the other person. But it's as you stay more connected with that person, as you open up your heart to that person, you start to find out where that other person's coming from. They start to find out things about you, and then you grow in your relationship. And it's the same with God. You can have a relationship with God, and that's what God's heart is to have a relationship with you and to show you his goodwill. And his goodwill is that you have that you may be in health, and that you have a prosperous journey in life. He wants you to prosper spiritually, mentally, physically, in relationships, in your health, in your finances. This is the good heart of God for you, and it's available. And when you know what the Word of God says, then you can apply the principles of the Word, and then you can receive the benefits. Because there's many benefits from God. God has given us many, many benefits. And the Bible says in Psalms 103, "Forget not all his benefits." God has got so many benefits for you if you receive his word with meekness, with a humble heart, and receive it like a child, and then you'll start to manifest its power, its goodness. And that word of God is quick and powerful, and it'll cut through all the negatives, all the fears, all the worries, all the doubts. If you're a person that's fearful, God can deliver you from all your fears. God can set you free in every situation and area of your life. I want to go for a few scriptures now. And again, we're going to go over this rather quickly because there's quite a few scriptures. But you can get the heart of this, and you can read these things afterwards slowly for yourself. And you can meditate upon them, and you can pray about them. And you can also act upon them. If you act upon the word, you'll definitely get results. Because God is a faith God. It requires believing, acting on his word, and also saying what his word says, rather than saying your feelings, what your circumstances is, and confessing the negatives. That's not going to receive anything from God. But we confess the word over the negatives, we say what God says, and then we can start to receive his goodness. And it really does work, because it's worked for me. And in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at another wonderful record. This is what's available from God. In verse 19 it says, "But my God," the Apostle Paul was talking to the people about his God, and his God is my God, the creators of the heaven and the earth. And his name is El Shaddai, Elohim, Jehovah. He has many names, and God's many names. These names represent different attributes and qualities of God. And his name also is Jehovah, which means God will be to you what you need him to be. So God is just fantastic. So, but my God shall, and this word shall is like an absolute. So my God shall absolutely supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And God's riches in glory are endless, and he can supply all your need, what you have need of and more, so that you can truly live each day and have your need met, and also have an abundance to bless yourself and to bless other people and to bless the work of the ministry. Now I want you to go to Malachi. This is the last book of the Old Testament, the book before Matthew. And this is the Old Testament is for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. This isn't addressed to us, but it's great examples and it's principles we can still apply. It's in the era of giving and receiving. And God was talking to his people because his people had stopped giving to the movement of his word in that day and time, to the Levites of that time that were supposed to feed God's people. And in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 it says, bring ye, this is what God was saying by the mouth of his prophets. See, God speaks by the mouth of his people. He has spokespersons for him, whether that's a woman or a man. He'll work in that person to speak forth his word, to give instructions what people need to do. And he's doing it right now through this video. He's working in me to do that for you. And I know, because I'm confident, my God, I have a relationship. I know what the word of God says, and he's working in me by the Spirit of God. And God is saying through his prophet here, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. See, God wanted his people to, at that time in the Old Testament law, the tenth means, the word tithe means tenth, and the people were to give a tenth of their income. And God says, you bring those tithe into the storehouse, that tenth belongs to me, and I want you to honour me with that, so there's meat in my house, so that my people, my ministers, those that are serving, can minister my word to the people, and for the people, and for me. And if their needs are not being met, then they're not going to be able to do their job. So God wanted meat in his house, not just so that their needs were met, but the needs of the poor people were met, and that his people were taken care of. Because God is into equality. He wants everyone to have, you know, their need met and to be blessed. And God says, I want you to bring those tithes into the storehouse so that the needs of my people can be met, and the needs of my leaders also can be met. And he says, and prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven. So God was giving him a challenge. He said, look, if you take me at my word, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have enough room to receive it. So there's a great principle in giving and receiving, and God wants his people to do that. And that's another way to prosper. In Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, God says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. Alright, so God says there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. And when we give of our substance, that is like sowing seed. And in the right time, we will receive a harvest from what we sow. And it's a principle in life. It works for unbelievers and believers. If you're sowing a lot of bad things in life, you're going to get a lot of bad things coming back. If you're sowing a lot of good things in life, you're going to get a lot of good things coming back. It's a universal law and the principle that God set up in giving and receiving. In verse 11 it says, and I will rebuke, God says, if you honour me, I'm going to take care of you, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. The seed that you sow, I'm going to make sure that the enemy is not going to destroy the seed that you sow, so that you can have fruit, that you can have an abundance. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, your seed is going to produce a harvest at the right time, and it's not going to be spoiled. And it says, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Why should it be delightsome land? Because these guys were given, they were following what God was saying with heart, with understanding and with love. And then God prospered them and God blessed them, and he caused them to be fruitful so that they were able to bless the people around them and stand out. God wants you to stand out, that you are his kid, that you're provided for, and that you got the best trainers, you got the best shoes, you got the best clothes, you got the best home, you got the quality food. God wants you to have the best, but there's a principle, you got to give. Okay, because God set that blessing up for you. It's a blessing to give. And Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because as you give, you shall receive. And your seed doesn't just give you one seed back, it gives you many seeds. So, you know, if you're a new believer, this is a great principle. We're not after your money, right? But God wants, and God doesn't need your money, but he needs you to give so that you can be blessed. And also, this will also help the word of God to move all over the world. So, there's a great principle there. And God says in Deuteronomy 8 that he gives the believer power to get wealth. And this is one of the powers, one of the abilities that we could use is in our giving, so that we can prosper and we can be blessed, so that we can be a blessing to other people. So it's a great principle, and we can still apply the principle of giving and receiving today, whether it's a tenth or whether it's not a tenth. You give from your heart, and what God wants you to do when you give is that you're giving from a free heart. You're not doing it because you've been told to do it, but you understand that God has set up the principle for you to sow and to reap. And so this is the real heart that God really wants you to bless, and that God wants you to honor him. When you're giving, you're actually honoring God. You're not honoring the minister or the place where you're giving it. You're honoring God, and it's an act of faith showing that you believe God. And when we don't do that, we're more like, well, I need this, because why do we need it if we're trusting God? Because we're dependent upon that, and we're relying on that rather than relying on God, who shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But this is another topic, and I can teach more on this at another time. But this is what's available from God. When you give, you shall receive. And God wants you to operate in that principle of giving and receiving. Whether you're a new believer or old believer, you could be an old believer that stopped giving or not really giving or kind of lost heart in giving because you're not really understanding that God set this blessing up for you to be blessed. So that's what's available. Another one regarding health. And I've gone through these before, but I'll read it again in Isaiah chapter 3. First one, we see this is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, and it says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, referring to Jesus Christ, shall grow up before him as a tender plum and as a root out of the dry ground. He, Jesus, has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. Jesus is despised. Still today he's despised and rejected of man. Still today he's rejected of man. And he's the Saviour. He's the one that we get to God through. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he, Jesus Christ, had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded. Those stripes that he received, that beating that he received, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, that punishment that he received by the hands of the Romans, okay, we were healed. And in 1 Peter, we see that prophecy has been fulfilled. And it talks like this. Peter says, who, his, Jesus Christ's own self, bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, past tense, because it's already accomplished now. Healing has already been accomplished through the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can be healed. If you've got sickness in your body, if you've got disease in your body, you've got cancer, AIDS, hepatitis, whatever it may be, you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And we claim that promise, and then your healing becomes manifest. That's how simple it is. That this is what's available from God. Healing is available from God. the greatest healing is to be born again of the Spirit of God. This is the greatest miracle, that someone gets born again, that they come from darkness to light, that they receive the Spirit of God. And this again is in Romans chapter 10, and in verse 9 it says, that if thou, you, shall confess or say with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and shall believe that in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is how you become born again, by confessing Jesus as your Lord and believing God raised him from the dead, that he's going to be Lord in your life, and that God is now going to lead you by his Spirit through your free will choice and decision. No one's going to make you do that. God doesn't make you do that. It's through a free will choice and decision. And as you decide to follow, we're called followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you decide to follow, then God will start to teach you, you'll start to grow, and you'll start to manifest power so you can walk in victory. Okay, we can heal the sick and cast out devils. When you receive that Spirit of God, you receive the Spirit of Christ in you. Okay, and you received authority, you receive power. The Spirit of God is the Spirit is dunamis. You receive dunamis, it's potential power. And that power, when you exercise that power by acting upon the Word of God and saying it with your mouth, just like you believe, you said Jesus is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, then you can start manifesting the power. You can start doing the same works that Jesus Christ done. And he went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And you can do the same. And you can learn how to do it. And in Matthew 10, we'll read verse 1 and verses 7 and 8. And it says this, and when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, his followers, those ones that were learning from him, learning how to walk in the power of God, he gave them power, authority, against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So you have power. If you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right now you have power to cast out devil spirits, unclean spirits, those spirits that affect the minds and bodies of people, that work the work of the devil, that bring calamity into people's life, that brings sickness and poverty. If you know, this is where poverty comes from, this is where sickness comes from. But now you can cast these spirits out. You can cast poverty. Poverty is a, can be a spirit that's affecting and working against your life, and you can cast that out of your life. You can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, spirit of poverty, get out. I have the abundance and blessings and protection of God. And you claim God's goodness to you. You need to claim what is rightfully yours, what you've received at the new birth. And so you have authority over the devil and over the devil's spirits. And you can thwart the purposes of the devil. That's why Jesus Christ was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. Okay, the devil at a later stage will be destroyed, but he's still operating as the god of this world, and he's the one that's causing all these wars, divisions amongst people. He wants people to fight against each other. He doesn't even want you to believe that he's a devil, that he's there. Okay, the biggest trick the devil uses as his tool is to make you believe that he's not there at all. But let me tell you, he's there. And if you believe in God but you don't believe in a devil, then that's foolishness, because if there's God, there's got to be a devil, right? If there's good, there's got to be evil, right? So God is for you, and he's giving you authority to live above this world, to live above the challenges that come against you. In verse 7, Jesus also said to them, and as you go, preach, declare God's word, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. So Jesus said, look, heal the sick. He gave them a command. He didn't just give them the power to do it. He said, now you do it. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So we freely receive this eternal life and this Spirit of God and this power of God. And God is saying, now you go and you tell others about this message. You go and you heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You raise the dead. And you can do this. And it's, you receive it and you do it by believing. Just like you believe Jesus Lord, said Jesus Lord, and you believed in your heart God raised him from the dead. We believe the words that we speak without considering anything else. We know that when we speak, it's done. We don't even consider anything else. It's done. And whoever's listening to this right now, you're healed. It's done. Now receive it by believing. Don't even consider your circumstances, your realness, the doctor's report. But believe the report of God. And this is the report of God I'm giving to you right now. It's just powerful word. In Mark 16 and verses 17 and 18, wonderful record. Again, just highlighting the power and authority God has given the believer. And you can learn this and you can walk in this authority and power right away. You can start speaking God's word right now. While God is working in you, you can give and you can minister healing. Right at the time you're born again, you have authority to start ministering healing to people, setting people free. When you believe with all your heart and you what you're saying with your mouth, your words will come to pass. And in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, it says this, and these signs, okay, sign is an indication of something, giving direction, showing you that something's happening. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So signs will follow those that believe, not the ones that don't believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, see, there's authority in the using the name of Jesus Christ. In my name, Jesus said, in my name shall they cast out devils, these evil spirits. They shall speak with new tongues. You can do that if you're born again. You have the ability to speak in tongues, which is perfect prayer and praise and worship to God. And again, later on, this will be taught so that you can understand. And it says, they shall take up serpents, the ones that are believing. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. See, healing can happen instantaneously, or it could be a progression of time that someone starts to recover from their illnesses. And I've seen both at work. I've seen people instantaneously healed, and I've seen people that I've ministered to one day, a week later healed, or a month later manifest that complete healing. Because Jesus Christ is a complete Savior. He didn't do a half job, He done a complete job. This is the good news. This is good news, isn't it, right? You don't read this in your Sunday Times. You don't read this in the New York Times or the Singapore Times or the Australian Times. But this is what you get from the true Word of God. And this is true and it works. And it works for those that believe. Signs, miracles and wonders follow them that believe. And we'll look at another record in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. We'll see what else is available. And it's available to live far above all principalities and devils. Because these devil spirits and the devil are under your feet. They are under your feet because Christ was risen and sat right next to God. And when we believe, we're raised with him spiritually and we're sat right next to God. This is where God sees us. Up here, not down here. And when we're looking at problems and situations, we don't look at it from down here, we look at it from up here. The promises of God and what God says, and that indicates to us, our seated position indicates the authority God has given to each individual believer and the church. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says this, and what is the exceeding greatness of his, God's power to usward who believe? Do you believe? See, it's according to those who believe, according to the working of his, God's mighty power. It's God's power, not our own. Which he, God, wrought in Christ when God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. See, every name that you can think of in this world, from every category of life, the name of Jesus Christ is above it. Okay, so we have authority above every name in Christ. And Jesus Christ has authority above every name, sickness, disease, whatever people give it names, hurricanes, volcanoes, earthquakes. We have authority. We can command things to stop. Okay, we just got to believe it with all our heart and consider nothing else. Verse 22. And God hath put all things under his, Jesus Christ's feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. See, Jesus Christ, he is the head of every believer. And the church isn't a building, the church is the people that believe. And Jesus Christ is the head of them, and we do things in his name. And it says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So it's available to live above every challenge, every problem, every situation, every sickness, every disease, every lack, every need. You can live above it and have your needs supplied by God, because he's already provided it for you in Christ. And like I said, we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. And in Ephesians 2:4 it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. See, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. And God hasn't given you what you deserve, but God has given you his grace, his love, and forgiveness when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ by grace. Remember I said grace is favor. You are saved. See, it's by the favor of God we're saved. God does the work. We do the believing. God does the work. So whatever God directs us to do, we do. And then we see the results of that. And it's God. So we don't take no glory. We give God all the glory. So it's just really wonderful. And it says in verse 6, and has raised us up together. When God raised Christ, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So once we know who we are, now you know that you're seated right next to God in Christ Jesus. That's a place of authority and relationship with God. And also the right hand indicates favor as well as God's authority. And you have that. What a wonderful thing to know that. And when you start walking in that, you'll start to see signs, miracles and wonders come to pass. You'll start seeing great things happen in your life. Because this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Do you want it? All you got to do is receive it. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do nothing. But I tell you what, if you receive it, you want to be around people that are walking in this power, that are walking in this authority. You'll want to learn everything you can learn. And this is what I've been doing in my life. I've been learning, applying, doing, making mistakes, but relearning. And you'll just grow and you'll have fun. Just like a young child, it grows up, it does well, it makes mistakes, it's corrected, and then it learns more, and then it grows in wisdom. And God wants you to really move right now. You can move right now in power. You can come out of poverty and sickness and lack, because it's not God's will. It's not from the true God. Okay, it's from the God of this world. He's the one that causes the calamities and everything. Okay, it's the God of this world. A lot of people say to me, well, if there's a God, why do all these kids get killed? And why do all people, no, good people get killed? Why there's all these wars? Because of the God of this world, Satan. He's the cause of it. And God gets the blame for it, and it's not right. Satan should get the blame for it. Let's put the blame where it needs to be. Okay, and we give God the power and authority and glory, because he's given us power and authority and glory, and we give it straight back to God by believing, and then we can walk in that. Okay, so we're in a battle. There's a competition going on in this realm, and we can live above it, and God has equipped us to live above it. So we can have confidence when we pray to God. This is also available. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, according to God's will, he heareth us. You ask anything, God hears you. And if we know that he hears us, if you know that God hears us, whatsoever we ask, whatever you're asking God, if you know that he's hearing you, you'll know that you'll have the petitions that you desire of him. So whatever you're requesting to God, know that you're going to have your desire. Okay, as long as it ain't something stupid, it's according to the will of God, according to your life, it's something that's going to bless you, it's something that's going to bless other people, it's going to be beneficial. God ain't going to give you something that's going to hurt you, right? If you're asking for £1 million and that £1 million is going to destroy your life, God certainly ain't going to give it to you. Alright, but God is a good God. He gives good gifts. He takes care of his children, and he won't give you something that you can't handle, but he'll bless you and he'll take care of you. In Mark 11:24 it says, therefore Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. See the key word there, believe. Not doubt, not more is he going to, or will he might. No, it's none of that stuff. It's you believe without a shadow of a doubt. You're not considering anything else. No matter what anyone is saying to you, no matter what your circumstances say to you, you believe, all right, that you receive them, what you've prayed for, and you shall have them. That's a promise. This is what's available. Jesus Christ said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, that you receive them. Jesus is saying, believe that you've already got it before you even see it. Believe it's already yours. Then you shall have them. Then it become manifest. Powerful word. This is a powerful word. We have a powerful God. Okay? It's available not to have worry. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful. And this word careful means anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Stop worrying. Okay? But in everything, when you're challenged, when you're tempted to worry and fear, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. So instead of worrying about your problem, you say, Father, I thank you. This problem is in your hands, that you have it. And I thank you that my need is met and supplied because you're a faithful God. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you're going to do it. And then when you think about it, you say, Father, I just thank you that you've already taken care of this. Is available also for God to work in you, and God is working in you. In Philippians 2:13 it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's working in you the things that he wants you to do to help move his word, to help reach out to others, to help bless things in your life. God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay, not our good pleasure, but his good pleasure. And our pleasure is to do the will of the Father because of the rewards and blessings that we get from serving God. It's fantastic. It's not religious. It's not boring. Okay, church may have made it boring. That's not God's fault. Okay, because this word is quick and powerful and it's living, like I said before. And the other great thing is we can do all things through the power. This power, the Spirit of God, this Christ in us. We can do all things through Christ that works in us. And it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. See, when we're relying on God, that Spirit of God is energized in us, that Christ God is energized in us, and it's in his strength that we do the things, not ours. When we try and figure out everything in our own ability, when we try and get a solution, we're trying to solve the problem in our ability, we get nowhere, we get frustrated, we get anxious. But God is working in you, and when you listen to God, hear working things in your heart, you'll get inspired, thoughts and ideas come to you. When you do that, then you'll start to see things work really smoothly for you, because God does want you to have a smooth life in this turbulent world. Okay, it's like when you're in a plane, you know, there's turbulence, and you know, the plane's shaking about, but the people in the side are not really that much shaking about, right? But the point is that even though this world can be turbulent at times and very rough, we can still move through it with confidence, with peace and with love. If you're going through this world, this turbulent life right now, and you never get the answers, you're always struggling, Jesus Christ said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my burdens upon you and learn of me. Don't take the burdens of the world anymore, but do what I give you to do. And you're going to be blessed. You're going to be strengthened. And do you know it's available not to have any condemnation? Do you know when you do something wrong, you can condemn yourself? This is what God says in his word. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, there's no condemnation to you. God is not condemning you. Jesus Christ is not condemning you. The scriptures are not condemning you. Okay, if you're a believer in Christ and you're believing God, there's no condemnation. Jesus Christ took your condemnation, your judgment upon him, so that you don't have to go through it. So get rid of the condemnation. You've been forgiven, you've been set free, you've been made whole, you've been delivered. And we'll finish off again in this wonderful record, because this is what's available. So there's many other things that are available. I'm just touching on a few things. God gives us the victory in every situation. In 2 Corinthians 2:14 it says, now thanks be unto God. So we give God thanks because he's the one that brings us the answers, the solutions, the deliverance, the direction. He's provided everything. He's done all the work in Christ. Christ done the work. And we just receive this by believing, by favor. This is the grace of God. Now thanks be unto God, which always, when we're trusting, when we look at him, he always causes us to triumph, to have the victory in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. Listen, God is with you. God wants you to know what he says to you today. And the only way that you're going to know that is through the scriptures. through what God has made available, and also by applying this in your own life. God wants you to walk in victory. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to know who you are now that you're born again of the Spirit of God, that you have authority, you have power, you can live above this world, that you're provided for, you can have an abundance. There's principles to apply, and when you apply God's principles, you will receive great blessings, okay? And signs, miracles, and wonders will follow you if you believe. So God bless you, and we look forward to the next video, and we'll take it to the next stage. So God bless you.